been dark for a little bit now, you can tell. If you have a copy of God's Word tonight, I would ask you to turn with me tonight to the book of John, John chapter number 12 tonight, and we'll begin reading in John chapter number 12 tonight. I want to preach on a little subject tonight that I believe that will just do us well tonight, and that subject being this: the greatest impact is the resurrection. The greatest impact that will ever be in an individual's life is resurrection. Once was dead, but now I'm alive. Once was blind, but now I see. The resurrection is the greatest impact. And I want to show you tonight three areas in the Word of God tonight where when Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, what kind of impact he had. He had a great impact on everybody that he come in contact with. Tonight, if I say to you tonight, if you've been born again and you've been resurrected from the dead, anybody you come in contact with, you ought to make a great impact on their life. Amen? If you have a copy of God's Word tonight, we'll be in the book of John, John chapter number 12. I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll be in chapter number 12, verse number 1 tonight, and the Bible says, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simeon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. Has she kept this? For the poor always have ye with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we come tonight, Father God, lifting you up right where you are tonight. Father God, not that you need lifted up, but you just choose to be that way, Father. Father God, you choose us to call on your name, and that's how you set things up. And Father God, we honor you in the place that you're at tonight. Father, you're high and lifted up tonight, higher than we could ever be. And Lord, I pray tonight as we study a portion of your word tonight, we'll realize tonight that we have a great impact in the world we live in. Father God, there's been a lot of things that's impacted us in our lives, but there's nothing that's impacted us like the resurrection from the dead. Father God, there's people in this congregation this afternoon. Father God, spiritually, there was a time in their life they was dead. Father God, they had done got stinking, they was dead, but you reached down from heaven and you saved their soul. Father, you called them out of that old grave. Father God, I thank you that Jesus didn't go in the tomb, but he called them out of the tomb. Father God, he don't go into our old deadness, he calls us out from that. That we don't live there no more, we don't resident there no more. Father, I pray tonight you have your will and way. I pray you get honor and you get glory. Father, I love you and I thank you. And Father, I thank you tonight for this church family. Father God, I'd pray that you'd put a double portion on them, give back to them 100-fold of what they have given to us. Lord God, tonight, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, whoo, glory. Father God, if there's one here that's never been resurrected from the dead, Father God, I'd pray tonight would be the night that they'd be resurrected. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. And I ask it all in your Son's Jesus, most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight and we study a portion of God's Word tonight, we see that the great impact of the resurrection As we look tonight, Lazarus being raised from the dead by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he was raised from the dead, he had a great impact on everyone he came in contact with. But I ask you a question tonight. Since you and I have been raised from the dead, since you've been born again, have you had an impact on anyone? Since you've been born again, since you've been called from the dead and you've been set alive in your life, have you had a great impact on anyone? I thought about that great impact, and I thought about how an impact changes things. You know when you've been impacted. Can I get an amen, Sister Melissa? You know when you've been impacted. We was playing ball there Sunday evening, and as I studied this, and I thought about a great impact. When I turned second base, I know I'm 40 years old. I don't need to be playing no ball. But when I turned that second base, man, we was in the bottom of the 15th inning. Glory to God, 15 innings. Man, they done wore us out and wore us down. And when I come running that way, it ain't like it used to be. You can't just stop on a dime. And Sister Melissa, she was at third base. And when I come around that corner, man, I tried everything in my power, almost in my power, not to hit her. But the more I tried not to hit her, the more I impacted her. And me and her both. Man, when I hit her, she went to the ground. I went to the ground. And the first thing I thought of, man, she could be hurt. And man, I started calling for people. And I wanted them to come see and make sure that that impact hadn't hurt her. Friends, can I say to you tonight, spiritually tonight, in the world you live in, you need to be impacted by the resurrection of somebody's life. We need to be impacted. When somebody gets born again, it ought to knock us down knowing that that individual is not going to hell, but they're going to heaven. Can I get an amen? And tonight as we look at this, why does the resurrection have a great impact on you and I tonight? If it just happened with the virgin birth, that's good, and that would be good. If it just happened with the crucifixion on the cross, that would be good. But friends, I want you to know the power we have tonight is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he arose again out of that grave on that third day, and he is seated high in the heavens. And tonight as we look at this, why does the resurrection have such a great impact? Number one, tonight we see it's a great impact because it was a real experience. Tonight, if you've been raised spiritually from the dead, it's a real experience in your life. You don't have to have nobody tell you about it. You don't have to have nobody lecture you about it. You know that you've been born again. And tonight as we look into the text in verse number one, we see the great impact because of a real experience. And look what he says. And then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. He wasn't dead no more, but he had been dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. That was a great impact, and it was a real experience. He was physically raised from the dead. But friends, I want you to know tonight, just as Lazarus was raised physically from that dead, you and I, if you've been born again tonight, you have been raised spiritually from the dead. You say, preacher, I've not never been dead. If you have been born again tonight, there was a time in your life that you were dead. Hey, you was graveyard dead spiritually. Hey, was nothing good in you. Hey, was nothing in you worth anything, but God looked down from heaven and he said, I want to buy it all. I want everything they got and I want to buy everything that they have. And he says tonight in Ephesians 2, in verse number 1, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. He said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We had trespassed against God. We had sinned before God. And we needed an advocate. We needed somebody to come our way. And friends, I want you to know, when you meet Jesus Christ, it's a real experience. Can I get an amen? Hey, when you meet Jesus, it's a real experience. I don't know about you tonight, but I can just tell you about a real experience in my life. There's some things that took place. Hey, there's some things that changed in my life when Jesus come in. Since Jesus came into my heart, things has been different. And he said that tonight, and you had the quickened. That would be that he awakened you, he revived you, and he bought you back. There's nothing more I like in anything in this world than to hear a testimony of somebody that's been lost and now they're found. Can I get amen? You get these kids on TV and they put out an APB and they want to find them kids because they're lost and they're in harm's way and danger's coming. Friends, you know why they're looking for them kids? Because something might happen to them. You know why God's looking for you? It's because something did happen to you, and that is sin tonight. But I see something in the text. Not only did Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Lazarus remained with Jesus. Friends, tonight, when you've been born again, but you have no other choice than to remain with Jesus. Friend, there is no other choice. You said, preacher, I can choose not to go. Yeah, but it wouldn't be a good choice. Preacher, I can choose not to go to church, but it won't be a good choice. You see, I'm talking about a good choice tonight. I'm talking about a great impact of a resurrection in your life. He said Lazarus was raised from the dead, but also tonight Lazarus remained with Jesus. Look in verse number 2, and there they made him a supper. Man, tonight if there's one thing this church needs, and I told Brother Eric, being the chairman of the deacons, I said, we got to get back to fellowshipping. We got to get back to doing what God's called us to do. You know what tonight? You know why we wanted to assemble like we do? It's because the Bible knows, Jesus knows, when you get alone and you get away from people, oh, Satan, he'll sift you. Friends, I want you to know tonight, you may be sitting right there in them chairs tonight. You may be sitting in your car tonight. And oh, Satan, he may be sifting you, sitting right there. But I want you to know tonight, I do know, when you get by yourself and you get out away from the rest of the flock, it won't be long. Oh, Satan, he'll sift you. He'll try you. And friends, there's one thing tonight that we see when we're resurrected from the dead. We need to remain with the flock. We don't need to get out on our own. We don't need to get out where the enemy is, friends. We need to stay with the flock tonight. Amen? And he says here tonight, there they made him a supper. So not only did he get raised from the dead, but now he's remaining with Jesus. Man, I can just imagine this. Now they made him a supper. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? Look here. And Martha served. Do you expect anything different? That's what Martha did. She served. She was serving here. He had done been raised from the dead. And he said, we're going to give Jesus a supper. We're going to fix him a supper. He said, well, the supper was for Lazarus. He had been dead and he was hungry. Oh, no, my friends. Hey, they didn't glorify Lazarus. They glorified the Lord. Can I get an amen? And he says here, there they made him a supper and Martha served, but Lazarus. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Not only did Lazarus was raised from the dead, not only did Lazarus remain with Jesus, but Lazarus rejoiced with Jesus. When you're resurrected from the dead and you remain where Jesus Christ is, it won't be long you'll start rejoicing. Amen? Hey, that's just the way it is. Boy, I just get fired up about it, thinking about it. Just sitting here tonight, thinking about what God has done in my life. Some of the greatest times in my life is when I think back of that testimony and I think back to the resurrection. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. And then after I got saved, I want you to know, I started remaining right where Jesus was, right in His Word tonight. Friends, tonight, worship will never do for you what the Word of God will do for you. This Word will sustain you. When you're down and out and low, it'll sustain you. When you're on a mountaintop, you know what it'll do? It'll sustain you. Hey, when life throws things at you, you know what it'll do? It'll sustain you. Friends, tonight, Lazarus, you know why he come out of that grave? It wasn't because Jesus Christ was worshiping. It was because that Jesus Christ, he spoke that word. He said, Lazarus, you come forth. Friends, tonight, you and I, we need God. We need him to speak a word on us tonight. And we need that word spoke on us so real tonight that it changes our life in a mighty way. But he says tonight, not only did Lazarus get there and he rejoiced with Jesus, but look what he says. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. I just get excited about this. Martha, she served, and Mary, she poured. Amen. Martha was serving, man. She was doing her thing. And you know what old Mary done? She slipped right in there where Jesus was, and she started pouring it all over him. She said, I'm so thankful. If there's one thing you can learn from Mary, every time you see her in the Scripture, she's at the feet of Jesus. And if I can give you anything, before you ever get in a public place, before you ever leave your home every morning, I'd get at the feet of Jesus. Hello. I'd get at the feet of Jesus. When my attitude stinks, you know why? It's because I've not been at the feet of Jesus. When I'm not where I need to be, you know why? It's because I've been at the feet of Jesus. When you've been to the feet, nothing else will do. When you've been to the feet of Jesus, that's the most lowliest place that you can get to. That's the place that you can draw strength. And he says tonight, it's a great impact because of the real experience. It was a real experience that took place in Lazarus' life. But let me give you something else. Not only was great impact because of the real experience, but it was a great impact because of a reliable evidence. There was reliable evidence that there had been a change and this man had been resurrected from the dead. Can I ask you a question tonight? And I love asking questions. I'd ask you a question tonight. Is there evidence in your life tonight that you've been born again? Is there evidence in your life tonight that you've been resurrected from the dead? Is there evidence tonight that you're not the same person, you're somebody new? I had Brother Randall Moore's mom's funeral yesterday, and there were some men I've not seen in over 20 years that had worked at NACO with me up there when I was up there in the two crib at Max 2's, and I hadn't seen them men in 20 years. 20 years, or maybe longer than that, I don't know. But one man walked up to me, and when he looked at me, he said, "There is a God in heaven." I thought, "Yeah, man, I guarantee you." He said, "Oh, no, there is a God in heaven." I said, "Yeah, man, glory to God, there is." And I said, "What makes you keep saying that?" He said, "Because I'd have never thought 20 years ago you'd be preaching the gospel." Folks, tonight, I want you to know there will be evidence in your life so much, not because I'm a preacher. Don't get that. Not because I'm a preacher. It's because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Folks, tonight, as this church, there will be evidence in our life, reliable evidence tonight that we have been born again and that we're walking with Jesus Christ along the way. Let me show you this tonight, this reliable evidence that I'm talking about tonight. The great impact because of the reliable evidence. And here's what it did. It did three things. Number one, it drawed people. Let me show you in verse number 9 of this text. It drawed people. That reliable evidence of what Lazarus had done, it drawed the people. Look what he says in verse number 9. "And much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus." I wrote this down, and I'm going to read it real slow so you can get it. I wrote this down. The great impact because of reliable evidence, it'll draw people. You know, the Holy Spirit's what draws them to be saved, but what makes them want what you have? You ever seen somebody have a new truck and you be like, "Man, this is slobbering out your corners of your mouth." You're like, "Man, I want that." You see somebody get a new house and you're like, "Man, I'd love to have that." You see somebody get something new and you be like, "Man, I wished I had that." But when was the last time that you've seen a Christian that just got born again, or maybe they're just an old Christian, and you start slobbering at the mouth and you said, "I wished I had the kind of Jesus that they got. I wished I had what they had on the inside." Friends, tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is he was drawing people. Lazarus was drawing people. And the more he drawed people, the more they wanted to kill him, the more they wanted to persecute him. You know what they wanted to do to Lazarus? They wanted to kill him. Look what the text says. "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom had been raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death." Friends, tonight, when you stand up for God, there's people not going to like it. Amen. It draws people. Here it is. Here's what I want to read to you. "People came looking for Lazarus, and they found Jesus." Let me stop right there. If people come looking for you, would they find Jesus? If people come looking, they come looking for Lazarus. They said they didn't come only for Jesus, but they came for Lazarus. I just want to slow down. If people come looking for you, would they find Jesus? Or would they just find you? You see, tonight, when people come to this church, I don't want them to find the pastor. I want them to find the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Let me give you this tonight. He says, "People came looking for Lazarus, and they found Jesus." Folks, when people see us, they should see Jesus. When they see us, they should see Jesus. That's why they call them Christians first at Antioch, because they was Christ-like. There's little Christians running around. Let me give you this. "And when they are looking for Jesus, they should be able to look at us and find Jesus." They ought to be able to look to you and I. You said, I don't want to be on that pedestal. Well, when you got born again, you was put there. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What has he called us to be? He's called us to be a witness. When Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, he was done dead in the tomb, and when Jesus raised him up, brought him forth, you know what happened? At that moment, he became a witness, whether he wanted to be or not. Tonight, when you got born again, you got one obligation in your Christian life, and that's to be a witness for Jesus Christ everywhere you go, to share the gospel everywhere you go, to whoever you come in contact with. You say, "Preacher, I can't do it everywhere I go." You can do it to somebody sometime in a week. You can share that good news somewhere we go. Friends, tonight, as I got to that funeral this week and I run into them men, the first thing they said, "How you been doing?" The first thing I told them was, "Man, I was just glad to see them, and I knew they remembered who I used to be, and I wanted to make sure they didn't get that confused with who I am now." Y'all get that? If you ain't seen one of your classmates in 40 years, 20 years, and you was pretty bad then, can I get a witness? And now, they know you as who you used to be. And everything I would tell, every conversation I've caught myself doing, when I would talk to them, I'd say, "I got born again," and I'd tell them my story. I'd tell them when I got born again. Folks, tonight, I want you to know the greatest impact you'll have on somebody's life is telling them how Jesus Christ delivered you and saved you from a burning hell. Let me give you this tonight. He says it's reliable. It's reliable, this evidence. But when you have reliable evidence, it'll draw people. This evidence was visible. They could see Lazarus. He once was dead, but now he's alive. This evidence also showed victory. It showed that death, hell, and the grave had no defeat, that Jesus Christ could overcome that in anybody's life. But let me give you this. Not only did it draw the people, this great impact, because of a reliable evidence, it drawed the people, it divided the priest. It divided the priest. When Jesus Christ, when he draws, he'll draw and he'll also divide. When he draws an individual, he'll divide. When he drawed me and saved me, he divided me away from that old crowd. When he drawed me and he saved me from being dead, he pulled me away from death and gave me life. Folks, every time when the Son does something, when Jesus does something in your life, and he draws you, there's going to be a divide somewhere. There's going to be something that's going to divide somewhere down the line. And there's going to be somebody that's not going to like what's going on in your life. And look with me in verse number 10. It divided the priest. Look what he said here. But the chief priests, they consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. And these, and let me give you this. These chief priests was the Sadducees. That's who there was. Every chief priest was a Sadducee. Look, turn right back with me tonight in chapter number 11 and verse number 57. And let me give you this. And here's what he said. He said, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees. Everywhere in the Bible you see it says, now the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But when he got here, he says, now both the chief priests, or you could put Sadducees, and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. They wanted to take him. They wanted that evidence destroyed. But let me give you this tonight. That when it divided that chief priest, because they were Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And as the old preacher said one time, that's why they're sad, you see. Because they have no resurrection. They don't believe in no resurrection. They believe when you die, that's it. That what you do here is it. But let me give you this tonight. Not only did the chief priests, which was the Sadducees, they got to that place, they tried to cover up the evidence. They tried to cover up what is going on in that life. I want to ask you tonight this question right here. Has anybody tried to cover up what God's done in your life? Has anybody tried to put it on anything else? In my life, I'm giving you this tonight, and it's going to hit somebody. I have gave my testimony to people in the town I live in, and I tell them how God delivered me, and they say, oh, but you've always been a good old boy. I said, oh, no, listen. Yeah, but you just got off on the wrong path for just a little. No, I was on the wrong path from the day I was born. I was good at covering up. And then I met the one that I couldn't cover up in front of no more, and he caught me. It's the reliable evidence. Let me give you this. The chief priest was the Sadducees. They wanted to kill Lazarus because it was a threat to them politically. They were setting up on their high pedestals. They were doing what they was wanting to do, and they was treating people the way they wanted to treat them. And when he come in here and he was raised from the dead, it messed them up. It messed them up politically, but it also messed up their theology. You see, it messed up the theology. You know what? A lot of denominations, and I'm going to even say the one I'm in here. Folks, I want you to know tonight, if it don't line up with this word, I don't care what denomination it is not right. Can I get amen? Folks, I want you to know tonight, this Bible is inspired, infallible word of God tonight. There is no errors. There is no wrong in it. It is right tonight. And when he says that in your life, that there'll be evidence, friends, I want you to know tonight, it'll come a time in your life that that evidence will try to be done away with. Nobody wants evidence. When somebody's in the wrong, you know what they try to do with evidence? They try to cover it up. They try to cover up that evidence. They try to get rid of that evidence. They try to do away with it. I always think about times in my life when I'd be in trouble. You know what I would do? I'd try to cover up the evidence. I'd try to get away with the evidence. I'd try to do away with the evidence. I'll never forget, talking about evidence, I was coming home one night when I was 16-year-old, had just got my driver's license, outrun the police. I got a looting ticket. I got a speeding ticket. Man, there was so many tickets piled up. And when I got home, I thought, I need to throw them things in the garbage, because if I don't, they're going to know about it. That was my only evidence. I wadded every one of them up and threw them in the garbage. I said, man, Mom and Dad don't even see these. I just threw them in the garbage. But you know what? That little sin turned into something even greater. What I tried to hide from my mom and dad become public for the whole world to know. He said, how do you know that, preacher? When my granddaddy died in 1996, we were sitting at the funeral home. And they walked up to the funeral home. I'll never forget this. I'm talking about evidence. Friends, I want you to know tonight, you can't do away with evidence. When something is real, it is real. And I was sitting at that funeral home, and they come up, and the police did, and they was looking for William Mills. And I'll never forget this. I looked at my daddy, and I said, "What you done done?" He said, "I ain't done nothing." And when he come back, he said, "They're not looking for William M. They're looking for William B." What I'd hid privately come out publicly. What I could try to hide here and cover up, it come out publicly. Folks, tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is when you've been saved, you can't hide it forever. The group you used to run with won't be able to run with you no more. Lazarus didn't run with the ones he used to run with. He done got totally different. That evidence was alive in his life. But I want to tell you somebody else they tried to cover up on evidence. Not only they tried to cover Lazarus up, but they tried to cover Jesus up. Remember the story? Turn with me here. You remember the story? They said here in the book of Matthew. Matthew gives the account tonight. Turn with me tonight to Matthew chapter number, if you will, 28 and verse number 11. Not only did they try to cover up the evidence that Lazarus had been raised from the dead, but they tried to cover up Jesus, that he was alive and well. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 28 tonight. And here's what he said in Matthew chapter number 28. And we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 11. Not only did they try to cover up Lazarus, but they tried to cover up the resurrection of Jesus. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers." They gave the soldiers large money, saying, "Say ye," tell this, this is what I want you to say, "His disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept." He's trying to cover up the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't try to cover up his death. They hung him out wide open for everybody to see. Folks, tonight, you know what people will tell on you before? They'll tell your sin before they'll ever tell about your salvation. They'll plaster your sin all over Facebook, all over CNN. They'll plaster your sin everywhere. And as a church, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to forgive. How do we expect God to forgive us if we can't forgive one another? That's what the book says. Folks, tonight, when they got here, you know what they want to do? They wanted it covered up. They plastered his death for the world to see. But his resurrection, they didn't want nobody to see. Folks, tonight, if I can give you anything, our resurrection is our story tonight. Your salvation is your story tonight. What he's done in your life is your story tonight, and we must be sharing it. And look what he says here. And he said, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him." Hey, we got him covered. Don't worry about it. "We'll persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. You know what they did? Not only did they cover up Lazarus' resurrection, but they tried to cover up Jesus' resurrection. But tonight, not only that great impact because of the reliable evidence, it draws the people and it divided the priest. It divided them individuals, but they did something else. It developed its purpose. The resurrection will always develop its purpose in your life. Look what he says tonight. Look what he says here. Verse number 11 of the text, John 12:11. "Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and they believed on Jesus." And they believed on Jesus. People would believe. You know why you and I have been born again? It's that somebody else might believe. Somebody else might see. You see, my story is not like your story, and your story is not like my story. When I go to tell my testimony, I try to share it. I put a little of the bad that was in it, but I put a whole lot of Jesus. Because you see, the sin that beset me, that sin story won't deliver them. But the Jesus story will. How that he come to seek and to save that which was lost. Where he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, preacher, who's that for? That's for everybody. You don't know what I've done, it doesn't matter. It's for everybody. His grace is that strong? Oh, yes. His mercy is that deep? Oh, yes. His love is that broad? Oh, yes. Folks, tonight, it doesn't matter what you've done, God can cover that sin. Why? Because of the resurrection from the dead. And tonight, the third thing, I want to give you this in closing tonight. Not only is great impact because of the real experience, not only great impact because of the reliable evidence, but it's a great impact because it's remembered forever. Remembered forever. If I ask you tonight when you got born again, if I went around and I started with Brother Tony and I ended up with Sister Christy Carr over here at this corner, I'm not going to do it. But if I did and I went around and I said, Brother Tony, give me your salvation experience. By the time we got to Sister Christy, you know how long it should take us? We should be here next week this time. You'd have to call in, burn your vacation days. You'd have to burn every day you got, because that's how many stories should be in this parking lot from one corner to the other. Folks, tonight we all have a story to tell how Jesus Christ delivered us from such great a debt. Let me give you this tonight. It's a great impact because it's remembered forever. Number one is because it's recorded in Scripture. It's recorded in Scripture. What happened to Lazarus is recorded in Scripture. It's got to be true. We believe the Bible's true. Number two is because this same story is read by saints. It's read by sinners. It's read by scholars, and it's read by scoffers. A lot of people don't believe this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But if you've ever been spiritually raised from the dead, this story fits your life. This story fits you so good when you were stinking. Nobody could stand to be around you, and you couldn't stand to be around yourself. Can I get a witness? And then Jesus didn't come into that place where you was at, but he called you out of that place. See, he didn't run with me back in the old crowd I was in. He said, no, you got to come on over here. He pulled me over here. He pulled me out over here. It's recorded tonight in Scripture. It's read by the saints. It's read by the sinners. Read by the scholars, and it's read by the scoffers. And tonight, not only is it recorded and it's read, but it's real tonight to the saved person. To the person that's been born again, it's real in your life tonight. The greatest impact on your life. I've had a lot of calendar days. You have too. I look around this tonight, and Brother Hayden Nolan, you got an anniversary coming up. Monday? Boy, he didn't. Are you ashamed of her? No, sir. You're telling the mountaintop, won't you, son? You hear him, didn't you? Got an anniversary coming up. I remember that. He ain't ashamed of her. You know why? Because he married her. Folks, tonight, we've got nothing to be ashamed of. As much as that impacted your life, Hayden, man, that impacted you in a mighty way. Got a little baby coming. Won't be long, be coming. Brittany and them, they'll have that. And before y'all will, they'll be here in about 3 or 4 weeks. I said, preacher, you just listen. It's great impact on your life. That baby coming, great impact on your life, son. But folks, you know what? Tonight, the greatest impact that's ever been in your life tonight and will ever be in anybody's life, I don't care who you are, is the impact of the resurrection. When you once was lost, but now you found. You know why Brother Hayden's going to be a good husband? Not because he's just a good old boy. No, he's a lot of good old boys. Amen. He'll give you a shirt off his back. Boys, a lot of them will do that. They'll go to heaven for that. Nah. You take your shirt off every day and it won't get you to heaven. Got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You know why he's going to be a good husband? Because he's been washed in the blood of Jesus. You know why he's going to be a good daddy? Because he's been impacted by the blood of Jesus. Folks, tonight we have a story to tell. Brother Hayden. Brother Austin. Y'all fix to have two little babies come forth. Little bee things. You got somebody to tell your story to. You got somebody to share your story to. Folks, you listen to this if you don't get nothing else. It doesn't matter who you share your story with in life. The most important people to share your story with is your family. Is your family. The most important people in your life to share your story with, your salvation experience, is your family. But you know why it's the hardest? Because they know you the best. You know what Lazarus did here? He was with his family, loving his Jesus. Tonight as a congregation, I pray tonight that you had that resurrection story. I pray there's evidence in your life. And there's one thing old Satan tries to doubt you on every day of your life is that you've been born again and you've been resurrected. But there's evidence in your life tonight. You may not be where you want to be, but thank God you ain't where you used to be. Amen. Hey, I ain't nowhere near where I want to be, but thank God I ain't where I used to be. And folks, tonight, that's all because of the resurrection power Romans chapter number 8, the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask you tonight this question. Do you have a resurrection story? Let us pray.